And here we go. So how do we stay in the positive when we have prospects staying in the negative and sending us negative information, coming back on us and hitting us with the what the F are you doing? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Welcome to the HPLS podcast. Live, relevant, and high performance information, conversations, and education weekly.
All right, my friends. So this all spans from a couple of things that happened to me last week. So as you know, last week was Easter weekend, so it was a short week. And always on short weeks, I don't know about you, but I try my hardest to double and triple my output in order to make up for the day I've lost. Now, I know some people might say, oh, you know what, Dan, I don't want to worry about it. But for me, it's essential. So like I was working and sending emails till 6, 7 o'clock at night, most nights. Sending emails at 11 o'clock, 10:30, just before I was getting ready for bed and that kind of stuff. And it's interesting. So last week, more than any other week, and I noticed this to be about touch point 9. So it was between 7 and 9 was the touch points. And I started getting back a lot of replies from people that were saying, and this was the biggest one. So out of the couple of dozen that I got back, I was actually very shocked, and maybe some of you feel the same way. So I'm soliciting CEOs, vice presidents of sales, people that have been in sales before, right? And the common reply that I got was, you know what, Dan, I haven't replied to you up until now. So what would make you think I'm interested? And full transparency, I was kind of taken back. And in my head, I'm sitting there going, what are you doing? Because I'm so passionate about what I do. I'm so passionate about my product, about my service, about what it can do for people. And I'm the same way in logistics. Like I honestly took me, gosh, probably close to 5 years to really figure out and come to grips with some people are not going to want to deal with me. We all know it. We all say it. But it's just one of these where I just couldn't understand to the point where I've had my VP standing beside me and we're getting ready to go out to a meeting or something. And I'm on a sales call and I hang up and I stop and I go, no, hold on just a second. And I call the prospect back. Because I'm like, okay, I don't understand what's going on. You don't want to work with me, but I will give you everything you ever need in order to get done what you need to get done. Like I will move mountains. I will do everything and nobody will do what I do. And I'm sure we all think the same thing about our service. So for me, that part of sales was probably one of the hardest parts to overcome because let's face it, the more and more sales we do, the more and more quote unquote negative people we meet. But then I start looking at that word negative people and saying, is this individual in every part of their life that person that clears a room when they walk in? Or is it the person that lights up a room when they walk in? And we don't know these people, right? Like call a spade a spade. We don't know who we're soliciting. We hope to develop a relationship with them if, and hopefully you're of this opinion too, if they meet your ideal client profile, if you work well with them, if there's a mutual beneficial piece that can fit into the puzzle, if they believe it's a two-way street. So there's a lot of ifs. And I have no idea if any of these people will actually be really good prospects. That's hence the reason, you know, you're prospecting to see who's going to fit into on your bus, if you will. And one individual got back to me because in my last email, so I typically do 7 to 12 emails, and then I kind of say, you know what, leave it for a quarter, and then I'll get back to them. And very interesting because the individuals that communicated back to me, one in particular was like, you know, I don't know what you're not getting. I didn't reply back to you. And so here's the thing. The reply was like 4 or 5 paragraphs. So this is something this individual thought. Okay. This wasn't a go fly a kite. Because I even say in one of my emails towards my last emails, I typically add a sentence like, you know, you haven't said yes or go fly a kite. So I'm really unclear if this is a, let me see if this person continues to solicit. And let me reverse for a bit. And I apologize for jumping. It's just, I want to get so much in such a little period of time. So for me, I always operate under the assumption that people manage inbound cold calls and emails the way I do. And sometimes it's probably detrimental. Some of you might say it is, but I only have my perspective, right? And that's all you have. You have your own perspective. Now, your perspective changes based on things that happen, but we only have our own perspective. So mine is, if you're soliciting me, which I enjoy people soliciting me because I'm in sales. So I like to see how their approach is. But I will usually never reply back to you until about the 6th or 7th email. Why do I do that? I'll typically not answer the phone for the first 6 or 7 calls. I'm very good at seeing phone numbers and saying, okay, I know that person's called me before, or names or whatever. And the reason I don't is because I believe, anyways, I want to work with the best in everything I do. So whatever field it is, if it's lead generation, if it's sales coaches, if it's business coaches, if it's software, it's everything. I want to work with the leaders, and I'll pay more to work with the leaders because I want to work with the people that know what I need done and that have the services and value that I need. Now, leaders go above and beyond the call. So in sales, I'm sure you've heard these statistics before, that typically salespeople give up after about 3 follow-ups. And so for me, when you get to that 7 and 8 follow-ups, I'm already in that 1% of salespeople. Now, I also take into consideration automated follow-ups, which I consider myself fairly good at identifying which emails are not actually emails that are written, like emails that actually come from a system and auto-generated. So there's no effort, on the salesperson's part. But let's say these are genuine connections. They're genuinely reaching out. To me, 7, probably minimum, maybe even 9, depending on how much of a need I have for the product. Now, some of you might say, but Dad, you know, what if you need the product today? Well, there's no product we don't need today that we're not searching for on our own, right? So if you're searching specifically for a product, right, you'll do a ChatGPT search, you do a Google search, whatever your preferred search engine is, and you'll find it. So typically, if I need that, I've already got it, if that makes sense, right? So, and I'm sure you're the same way. Like if you need a course on sales training, you'll go out and find one on sales training. You won't just wait until arbitrarily somebody solicits you about sales training and you're like, oh my God, I need it now. It's not typically the way it works. So what I do is I stop and I say, okay, that's 1, that's 2, that's 3, that's 4, that's 5, that's 6, that's 7. And then I'll say, you know what? Yes, I'm interested in seeing it, because already I've eliminated the people that I know are going to be really interested in me when I'm a prospect. But as soon as I'm a customer, it's like I disappear. Right. So for me, that's my method. So how do I sell? I sell based on that formula, that framework in my head that helps me get that done. Right. So it's the same way I approach it with my prospects is, I don't expect a reply. The only time I expect a reply on 1, 2, or even 3 emails or 3 connections is when it's a hard F off no. Right. That's the only time I expect a reply. Now, I do get replies because I have people that say, you know what, at this point, no, we're good. We're not interested. Because I ask them, hey, just reply back with a 1 if you're not interested, reply back with a 2 if you're interested, or try reply back with a 3 if you want to see a picture of my puppies. It's a little strategy Ryan and I came up with last week that I'm trying out. But so from that perspective, right, I look at it, and when I got this email, and that was kind of a long-winded story to get back to the point, but when I got this email, I was intrigued because the history and research I've done in this individual, he was in sales, he knows what sales is, and so I replied back. And some people would say, Dan, come on, you didn't, but I did, because I said, you know, here's the reality, guys. Like, you're in sales, I'm in sales. I'm simply asking if you're interested in this. The amount of effort, and this was my reply back, the amount of effort you put into that reply email could have been taken care of ages ago, just replying back saying not interested in it. So I apologize if I've pissed you off in any way, but do you not think that a simple reply from 7 emails ago could have like stopped that process and stopped that frustration in you? So yeah. Some people would say, well, Dan, you can't really do that. That's crazy. Like that is just, but to me, that's really what it's all about. I mean, to me, I sit there and I say, if I'm not interested, like hard no, I'm a very positive person, but I'm also one of those people that when I get frustrated, when I get pissed off, I'm an asshole. Like, it's just what it is. There's no beating around the bush. But I like to think I light a room up when I come in as opposed to empty a room. But there's definitely days when I feel like emptying the room hard, right? Which I'm sure you guys do too. So here's the end kind of picture that I'm trying to paint for you guys is, yes, in sales, we are going to face these people. Now, don't get me wrong. It took me about an hour, realistically, an hour to get in a different mindset to overcome that reply. And this happened 6 or 7 times last week. So I feel, and it's something I'm working on and I encourage you guys and gals to work on as well. So I feel like I lost 6 or 7 hours last week already in a short week. And the reason is when these things happen, I still to this point, and I've been in sales a long time, I've worked with great customers, I've worked with idiotic customers, I've worked with the whole gamut in between. And I try and strive to always bring the right people on the bus. I think sometimes we all get tied up in what could be, so we bring the wrong people on the bus. But for the most part, I like to think that us as a corporation, as a company, as an individual, I focus on the right people and I try and really thread that line to identify the right person to start. And here's one thing I finally came up with, and over the next couple of weeks, I'll keep you guys updated on it. But for me, it turned into this. Okay, if you're going to reply back like that, then I definitely know I made the right decision by saying to you, okay, listen, if you're not interested, then we're just going to call it a day because I don't want to work with you down the road if this is how you're going to be at the beginning. If that makes sense. And so I like to think of all of these things or in dealing with negative replies, negative prospects. I like to think of it like this. I dodged a bullet. And now sometimes based on volumes, based on business, based on company size, like for us, for software, it's all about company size, right? The bigger the customer, the better revenue, okay? Call it spade a spade. Bigger the customer, the better profitability. Call it spade a spade, right? This is business. We do it. We don't do it for practice. We do it for profit. Let's, you know, be realistic. But also I know sometimes these really big customers that we think are like, you know, the nucleus of our business or that golden goose turn out to be the worst customers on the planet. So I'm trying to, you know, flatline and baseline the negativity that comes back. And when I say negativity, I'm not just talking about people that say no, it's people that barrage you with or berate you with, you know, remarks that aren't necessary, you know, call you out on things that aren't necessary. It's like a simple yes or no, not interested. Thanks very much. You know, but again, we don't know what people are going through. And this is one thing that I try and always come back to, and it doesn't always work by all means. I'm no master genius at this, but it's like this person might be going through something. So because of that, little leeway, you know, not a big deal. But sometimes that doesn't always work that way. So that's the message today, my friends, is, you know, try and think about these. And if you are getting stuck, you're not alone. I'm thinking about how these negative replies impact your performance, right, moving forward and how long it takes for you to kind of separate that and get back into the groove. I think that's critical, especially as we transition tasks throughout the day. you know, you're transitioning from operations. Maybe you're putting out fires with your ops team, or you're doing the ops yourself. You're putting out these fires. Then you transition to sales. Then you transition to, you know, firefighter again, then sales, then firefighter again, then sales, then firefighter, then sales. And our day just constantly revolves like that, right, in this industry. And so being able to turn off that negative faster. And again, I'm not an expert by any means, but being able to turn off that negative faster, I think is going to be crucial to our overall success and the scalability and speed of our success, if that makes sense. So I hope you're all getting this. Remember, go out there, make every call educational, crush your sales, and really start to identify where that lost time is when things happen in your business. Now, I'm not just talking prospects. Maybe it's carriers messing up. Maybe it's customers getting angry. Maybe it's all this. But where are those gaps, what I call negative gaps in your day? And these negative gaps are the times that take your time away when you could be doing really needle-moving tasks. So that's the mission, is how do you shrink that timeline, or how do you get over it in seconds as opposed to minutes, or in minutes as opposed to an hour, right? And just making that incrementally better as you move throughout your business and your day, I think is really going to serve everybody at the highest level. Until next time, my friends, I said it again, I'll say it again. Go out there, make every call educational, and crush your sales. We'll see you next time. Take care.